I want us to think about that this morning and just being grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Ray Comfort has a story that he says, and it goes like this. Imagine if I said to you, I have some good news for you. Someone has just paid a $25,000 speeding fine on your behalf. You would probably react by saying, what are you talking about? That's not good news. I don't even know what you mean. It doesn't make sense. I don't have a $25,000 speeding fine. And not only that, you're implying to me that I broke the law when I don't know anything about it. However, if you told this man this way, on the way to the meeting, to this place, the law clocked you doing 55 miles an hour in a blind school zone. There were 10 signs that were clear warning signs to you that the max speed is 15 miles an hour. You went cruising through at 55 in a 15 zone at a school for the blind, for blind children. And your fine was $25,000. Before the law could take its course, someone stepped in and paid the fine for you, and you are very fortunate. Now, what's the difference? The man understands his penalty, what he did wrong, and the cost he would have paid for that. You don't understand you've broken the law. But once you understand that you've broken the law, then the good news becomes good news indeed. And that's what I want for us this morning, is that we could just a little bit understand what this good news is and to think about what we have been delivered from. So we had this perfect earth. God created everything. It was good. It was perfect. It was wonderful. Dwight's been doing a tremendously good job of taking us through Genesis. And I'd like for you to turn to Genesis 3. I'm not going to take a lot of time with the actual fall of man. I think we know that well. But I want to look at when man was removed. So we have the story. Eve took of the fruit. Adam took of the fruit. They knew better. They sinned. And here is the result. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore, the Lord God did what? Sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So here we have it. They're sent out and they're drove out. I believe we could write there could be an entire book written on what Adam and Eve went through in the transition from the Garden of Eden and being driven out. There was a lot that happened there. Imagine how devastating to go out into this cursed earth because of our own choices, because of their own choices. And then I want to look at Genesis 4. Verse 1 through 8, this is the first sin that is recorded after they were driven out. And I want to see what happens here. There's a pattern that I believe we can look at. It's the same pattern that happens today. Genesis 4, I'm going to read 1 through 8. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So soon after they were sent out of the garden, this was happening. Now, I don't know what all was happening in Cain's life. I believe Cain was living a life of sin. He was trying to bring a sacrifice to God, to appease God. Something was happening here where God was not pleased with his sacrifice. So what happens? He becomes jealous of his brother Abel, which begins in our thoughts. After that, he becomes angry. So Cain was very angry and his face fell, it says. After that, he took out his emotions in actual physical action, and he took the life of his brother. He committed action, committed sin, and then we have, after that, we have the reaping and the results that come from the reaping. And that happens over and over again. So all at once, we are living in a completely different world. No longer a perfect world. No longer is there peace. But what are we going to do? What is the remedy to all of this? I'd like for you to imagine that your son or your daughter is laying in a hospital bed, and he has a terminal illness, and there is no cure for what your son or daughter has. He's laying there. He's about to die. You're planning his funeral. And all at once, someone comes in the hospital room with a cure. How grateful would you be? How grateful would I be at that point for the cure? There was a young man by the name of Ahmed. Their family was from Dubai. They came over here to Cleveland, Ohio, desperate for answers. He had a rare liver condition. And there was a donor who donated part of his liver to this young boy. You can see a picture of him here. As far as I know, he's doing well, this young man here. Imagine how grateful the parents would be for someone who is willing to do this. They had a cure for what they needed. They were desperate for answers. They were desperate for something. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 4. Would sound if you knew nothing but sin and hopelessness. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. There is the cure for our disease of sin. Our iniquity has been pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Verse 9, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the mount, the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And we could begin reading, or we could keep reading. Another place talks about how we are as grasshoppers in this chapter. In the end of the chapter, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There is life and a cure. Are you grateful for that this morning? I was thinking of the song, Just Suppose God Searched Through Heaven and Couldn't Find One Willing to Be That Supreme Sacrifice That Was Needed to Give Eternal Life for You and Me. Oh, had it not been for a man called Jesus, had it not been for the old rugged cross. And I want you to imagine this morning, what if Jesus had not come? What if God had looked through heaven? And it was a lot worse than needing a liver transplant. It was a lot worse than needing the right kind of, well, we did need the right kind of blood. But it was a lot worse than an earthly disease. What if there would not have been a solution? I would like for us to sing this in closing. And I really want us to think about this. Do we appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made? Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. By eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he didn't cling to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From these hands pulled the nails that torment me. Jesus, then for
Thank you, Julian. Beautiful picture this morning. Are your hearts filled with gratefulness this morning? One of the things that has helped me so much, I hope each one of you did it too, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you did or not, but each day this week I read through the crucifixion story from each of the Gospels, and Saturday